Hi, welcome to our session. We're supposed to officially start the session so that Madison knows when the recording starts. It starts now. It is May 15th. I'm really glad that you're all here, and that's actually true. I do often forget to start the session. So we're officially starting now. And before I open up Sacred Space, I did want to check in from a couple weeks ago and just see how you all liked the fairy connection and if you're still connecting with the fairies. And
Oh,
most of
yeah.
you are unmuted. I have to put my glasses on because you're all tiny on my screen. But you liked it, Sandra?
Yes, I did.
Yeah?
I went down to the river today and I just saw fairy doors, fairy little places all over.
Well,
It
I
was
love that.
wonderful. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, once you're keyed in on them, then you see them everywhere. You know, and
Because
it's like
you.
that with anything. It's really
Hello,
like that
Allison.
with anything. Can you hear me?
It's true.
Yes.
No?
Yes,
Yes.
and we can see you.
It only works because I got my husband to actually stand here. When he stands here, then it will work. So
Like a lightning
that's the
rod.
technical support. Thank
So I want to hear from a couple other people that don't usually speak up and share. How was the fairy thing for you, Rowan? Were you able to connect with the fairies? I know that's not normally where you go.
I was just about to speak because it has been a little crazy, like in my dreamland, as well as like I'll think I see something moving, and then I'm like, oh, you're here. Like we tapped in, and I've left it open
Yeah.
for visits and for messages, and some things are really shifting in my world. So I'm grateful for their presence and their fun and for the I don't know how to even put it, like the words don't come to me because I'm always so grounded and on the ground, but the lack of that sometimes, you know, it feels like freedom, like a little bit of what's the word I'm really looking for? Yeah, I think freedom is a good word, but there's another word, liberation. It feels like liberating
I
to
like
be able
that.
to connect in with that.
Yeah, because you are super grounded, and for you, it's a matter of more learning to fly again and going into that space. You have the connection with the fairies, but it's just not necessarily somewhere where you went regularly. Whereas
Yeah,
there's
it's usually like mama doesn't need to see what the kids are doing,
some
you
of
know.
Right. Cool. Anybody else want to share? I'd love to hear from one more person about the fairies from a couple weeks ago. Because they're still showing up for me for sure. Melina, yeah?
Well, yeah. Well, I was just gonna say, I think it's interesting because I have a little bitty garden out back behind my patio, so I've invited them into there, and not so much that I see, feel, but I feel like I've been more and more connected to getting back into my herbal connections, and so that's been strengthening stronger. So I think they're connecting with me in that way. Like I feel like they're being liaisons between me and the plants.
Oh, for
If
sure.
that makes sense, yeah.
Totally makes sense. Yeah, I mean, the plants and the woods and the nature places are definitely where I connect with them, but it doesn't have to be out in the forest like a lot of people presume. I mean, it's, yeah, definitely when I'm out in the garden, things can happen. But since we did that session a couple weeks ago, definitely things have been going on all over my house because we just opened the floodgates and they love, especially once the lights are off, they love to like turn on the fireworks and all that. Which sometimes is cool and sometimes is strange because I'm not prepared for it. I'm like, wait, oh, right, fairies, got it, okay. But what I really enjoyed was I think about, well, I've got this dragonfly that's been hanging out for 2 or 3 days. I don't know if it's transitioning or what's going on, but they're very connected with that kind of medicine. And about 2 or 3 days, maybe 2 days after you had this, I woke up in the middle of the night, you know, like go pee or get water or something, and I looked out the window and the lightning bugs,
Oh, cool.
just a symphony of lightning bugs, and it was just a, it felt a lot like fairy medicine. At 2:30 in the morning when it's totally quiet, pitch black dark, all these lightning bugs just everywhere. It felt very much like I was the only person in the world in that moment.
That's
And
awesome.
it was really magical, and it felt like the fairies were going, this is how we come in 3D, you know. Really neat. And yeah, I definitely, I haven't done a, even in the last almost 2 years we've been doing doing this, it had never occurred to me to really focus on clearing medicine, so I'm glad we got to do that. So my mom keeps texting me. So can you go ahead and mute everybody, Tracy?
Please.
I'm going to mute this.
Fabulous. Tracy is learning how to host. Good job. Yay. I just have to do the interpretive dance to unmute me. My mom is texting me right now. I have to have my phone on in case there's any technical issues and I need to get in touch with Tracy. But I'm telling you that my mom is texting me because she's very excited because in 2 weeks we're going to the Outer Banks. And we're going to go see wild horses and try not to get sunburned. The reason I'm telling you that, though, is that I'm going to be doing the first mentorship session in June from the ocean, which I'm really excited about because we've done sessions from Peru and I've done sessions from all sorts of places, but it's always been in the mountains and I've never done it. I don't think I've ever done a session while at the ocean because I just don't get there that much and I'd like to get there more. So just so you know, in a couple weeks, I sense that we're definitely going to be connecting with ocean energy. And the medicine of that, probably, I can already feel mermaids starting to show up and all sorts of interesting things. So I will be receiving counsel on that, but I will definitely be receiving counsel once I get there and get to connect with the ocean, Mama Cocha in Quechua, and see what that's going to bring us. I'm excited about that. We've done some ocean work before, but I wasn't at the ocean when we did it. So I'm excited about that. It's something to look forward to. And I made myself a little list because there's a couple things I want to mention before we get started tonight. I do want to welcome all the new folks who've signed up. We've got Amber and Allison. I just want to say hi. I'm psyched that you're here. It's a really great community. Every session is different. So just know that tonight is what we're doing tonight. What we did 2 weeks ago is completely different. And definitely take advantage. All of you, really, I hope you'll fully utilize the recordings and the archives because it's really cool to read those of you who are posting in the group about watching the recordings and how they come through at the perfect time for you. I also want to thank other students for commenting and saying hi to the new folks because, you know, maybe it's because I'm Pisces, I don't know, but I really like inclusivity. I really like for people to feel welcomed and included and seen and received. And something as little as just saying, hi, welcome, to me is a big deal. So thank you all for doing that. This is a really great group and I really appreciate that. Also, I went and worked out today. That's why I look like poop, but I'm psyched because I'm working out. Yay. Okay, we're going to get that out of the way. I'm never dressed like nice for these sessions because it's always after working out, and I'm very happy about that. If I'm dressed nice, it means I didn't work out. Y'all need to get on me about that. To everybody who will see the recording of this and couldn't be here live, I want to say hi to you too. I'm making an effort to do that because I know a lot of you have to check the recording after the fact. Everybody who signed up for the retreat in October, yay. We're already talking about new ideas, how to be out in nature more, what we're going to do with the fire, maybe some drumming. Ooh, we're going to talk to Ann Lovell a little bit more about that. Very excited. And definitely more movement, ceremony. It's going to be great. A couple things I want to mention before we get into shamanic journey is that I'd like to invoke my friend and sister and mentor. I'm talking about her like she's standing here, and she kind of is. She will be in a minute. There she goes. Okay, now she's here. So when we work with gods and goddesses from other belief systems, they've got a lot of collective energy behind them. And so there's a lot of medicine there. And there's been times in my life when I've worked more or less with certain deities from the Hindu pantheon or from the Buddhists. There's many different schools of Buddhism, and so they've got different versions of a lot of the same gods and goddesses. And lately, one of the goddesses, one of the energies and archetypes that's been coming up a lot, especially the last couple weeks, and I'm going to be honest, I really try to stay out of the political arena on these sessions, but especially after what's been going down the last few days around women's rights over our bodies. Kuan Yin has been showing up a lot. Kuan Yin is, to me, incredibly nourishing, very nurturing. She is, I want to actually get this right, so I'm going to look and I'm going to tell you, I want to say it correctly, because she's in the Mahayana school of Buddhism, and she's a bodhisattva. Bodhisattvas are the ones who reach enlightenment but choose to come back and hold space for the rest of us. The Dalai Lama is considered a bodhisattva. She's in Tibetan Buddhism, she would be like the equivalent of the Green Tara. She's the goddess and divine mother aspect of Buddhism. She's kind of like the Virgin Mary in Christianity or Isis in the Egyptian mysteries. In Hinduism, she'd be Shakti, the wife of Vishnu, the wife of Sita, the wife of Rama, Radha, the wife of Krishna, Parvati, the wife of Shiva. It's this very feminine experience. And she's also sometimes called Avalokiteshvara, if I can say that correctly. But her name means, in its proper form, Quan Shi Yin, means she who hearkens to the cries of the world. And I definitely feel her in that right now. I definitely feel her hearkening to the cries of the world and that divine feminine energy coming through big time, and really, really needing that divine feminine energy, and that she's considered a goddess of compassion. And that's feeling really supportive to me right now, because I get that it's an easy time to not necessarily remember compassion when these kinds of things are going on, and when we're dealing with, you know, a sense of justice, as well as doing our best to maintain compassion. So she's been coming in a lot, and I'd like to invoke her as we open up the space. It, to me, as I mentioned at the beginning, I like inclusivity. I don't mind who you work with. It's totally your prerogative who your guides are and your teachers in the seen and unseen realms. For me, it's about integrating different medicines and different energies that feel supportive. So right now, Kuan Yin is feeling very supportive to me because of what she embodies and what she symbolizes. But that doesn't mean that you have to work with her, and it doesn't mean that I'm Buddhist, although I super dig Buddhism, and if I had to choose one, that'd probably be the one I'd go with. But I really like to work with certain energies like Buddha, Krishna, Ganesha, Kuan Yin, different energies from different religions when they feel resonant for me, and in a way that really is not about the dogma or the institution, but really gets me connected with an energy that millions of people are bringing energy there. So it's very powerful, because when you have a whole lot of people focusing their energy in one place, it brings a lot of power and medicine there. So I really like sometimes to connect with those energies, the Virgin Mary, Mary Magdalene. There's just really, for me, it's about finding the medicine in the archetype and the symbolism. So Kuan Yin's been very, very prevalent. And I will post in the Facebook group just a little something that I found to share with you. But please feel free, if you don't know much about her, to do a little research and see if she resonates. I have a friend who had a lot of trauma as a child, so she has a lot of night terrors. And one of the only things that seems to really bring her peace is Kuan Yin. And I just find her energy just enveloping. There's images of her literally surfing, not really surfing, but riding waves, riding across the waves of the ocean, because she's part of the this group of the Lords of Karma, and she's also working with all of our karma too. And you definitely got to be a bodhisattva to work with all the karma of the world. So she's powerful in that archetype, in that respect. So I'd like to invoke her tonight. I'd like to bring her in. And one of the reasons I'd also like to bring her in is that a couple weeks ago, when we did the work with the fairy medicine, it reminded me, and I've also seen this happening with private clients and students over the last couple weeks, people who carry a lot of fairy medicine, in my experience, find it very challenging to be in human form. Not that everybody else doesn't too, necessarily, especially the fairy people are just like, oh, it's so heavy. I want to be in floating, you know, and I want to be in my fairy experience. And then there's others of you who really connect with star beings. And I know sometimes can feel grief around wanting to go home. I really think I'm going to make my thing a little higher here. I really feel that a lot of people have that experience. For those of you who've never had the experience of it being challenging in human form, that's awesome. I know you have other things that you're dealing with. We've all got our stuff. And I honestly haven't met anybody who's never had even a little bit of that experience. So maybe that golden unicorn exists. I'd love to know if there's anybody in the group who's literally never gone, what am I doing in this human experience? And my experience has been when I work with people, especially one-on-one, and this is something we can do as a group, I find that it's a little more challenging as a group because it's easier if I take you in and walk you through it individually. But maybe if I walk a couple people through it individually, then the rest of the group will know what to do. But often I will take people back to find the family that they actually come from. And I'm not talking about your birth family. Your birth family, you had a soul contract, karmic contract, dharmic contract, all of the above to get here in human form. I don't personally necessarily think that this is the only place that we're from. And so I know a lot of you connect with energy of star beings and you have a sense of home and it doesn't necessarily feel like it's here. And having said all that, I'm now going to contradict myself because this is shamanism, two opposing thoughts at the same time. I like to throw you off that way and just see if you're listening. Not really. There's also been one of the reasons I believe that we don't necessarily always feel super comfortable in human form on the planet is because we've been programmed into believing that we must control the planet. So the indigenous practices were more working with the planet and their stories of, I think they call her Star Woman, who comes down from the heavens and the animals, you know, the geese catch her and then they got to figure out what to do with her because they can't keep holding her. And so turtle shows up and she gets on the back of the turtle and she starts creating land. And this is a creation story of how the earth came to be what it is today. And she had to learn from the animals how to be here. And so it was very much in sacred reciprocity. Whereas if you go to, and I'm not dissing Christianity at all, I grew up in the church. This is not a diss to Christianity. And the creation story from that particular religion, which is what most of us have grown up hearing about, even if you didn't grow up in the church, instead is once we received knowledge, we were banished and then no longer could learn from the earth and the planet, and we were bad and there's a whole different vibe. Suddenly it becomes, we need to own the earth. We need to assimilate the earth. We need to control the earth instead of working with the earth. And it's just a completely different vibration. And I was reading about that, recognizing the insidious nature of that. Even if you didn't grow up religious or in the church, it's so entwined with the thinking, the DNA, the thinking of our collective, that we weren't welcomed here, that we were banished from the Eden that this place could be. And it just completely changed the story, from what the indigenous people had been writing. And so for them, it was a circle and we were part of that circle. Whereas the creation story of we're bad, we did something wrong, we have knowledge, so now we're banished. It suddenly became a triangle and there's a hierarchy. And I'm very much oversimplifying this. The point still remains for me that we've collectively been taught how to be with the earth in a way that doesn't feel right or comfortable or authentic to most of us. And that would explain why we don't feel very authentic or comfortable being here. I do feel that there's a big aspect of each of us that comes from the stars. I have connected with a lot of people's tribe in the stars and who you are as star beings. And then there's this other aspect of ashes to ashes, dust to dust, and we go back into the earth, and there is an aspect of us that is very connected to this earth, and yet we don't have right relationship with the earth. We just don't. And even when we try, even those of us who are trying, we don't necessarily recognize the unconscious programs that are running. And so it's important to recognize those unconscious programs. We don't have to judge where they came from. We don't have to blame anybody. It was really good for me to recognize the difference between the creation story that I grew up with as far as how it taught me to interact with the earth, as opposed to the indigenous creation stories that I'm reading and how they interact with the earth. I know that seems really simple, but it was really mind-blowing for me to read more in detail. I'll have to find what I was reading and share it with you all, because it was just really, really interesting to recognize the shame that was immediately imbued in the creation story of Christianity. I mean, it's completely based in shame. I remember being in India, and this was like, oh my gosh, like 15 years ago or something. And I went down very south India, way down Kerala region, like this far from Sri Lanka, if you put your fingers on a map, but it was a lot farther than that. And we're in this jungly area, and there were leaves. I don't mean trees or plants. I mean, one leaf was bigger than me. Like bigger, and I'm like 5'10", okay? So this is a big leaf, one leaf. Can I be any more clear? It was a humongous leaf. And I remember standing there next to just the leaf of this plant that was wider and longer and bigger than my entire body, and feeling intimidated because this plant was, just its leaf was bigger than me. And I suddenly had this flash in that moment of, whoa, this is the fear that led so many people, humans, to try to conquer the planet. We definitely want to mow that stuff down, because that's scary, because that can eat you alive. You know, the jungle is definitely a place that you lie down for 24 hours and you'll be taken into it and we won't see you again. I mean, she's that powerful. And I remember feeling incredibly intimidated by these humongous plants. I've never seen plants that big. To me, it's like I've been seeing plants like goldfish, and then I go to India and they're plants like whales. It was a whole other vibration. And it gave me a better understanding of our need for control as a species. I'm not talking necessarily about individuals in this group, but as a species, it's pretty intimidating when that the plants can take over and completely cover everything you understand. So there's just a lot going on there. And I sense that that's part of why people don't necessarily feel comfortable in their bodies and comfortable on the planet, and mostly because a lot of it's been shame-based, whereas in indigenous cultures, it's not shame-based. As my friend who moved to Peru and lives there says, they hold everything lightly. She said, they hold everything lightly, and there's just not as much shame in their experience. It's not woven into their experience. So it's important to recognize that shame is very much woven into our experience, and that would make it challenging to feel comfortable in your body. And also, when you're intuitive and empathic and sensitive, like every single person who's here in this group, then there's that aspect of also remembering your more cosmic experience and kind of waking up into this place going, What is this weird body thing going on? Why am I not in the oneness, you know? So I feel like the fairy beings bring up a lot of that for us. And what I'd like to do tonight is connect with Kuan Yin, clear some of the shame, clear some of that that energy that's woven in unconsciously of control of the planet, control of our situation. And I'd also like to, as a group, recommit to being in human form. This is something that I had to do for years and years and years. I didn't end up in a psychiatric ward because I was happy and thrilled to be in my body, you know? realize it's getting really dark, so my thing won't work as well when it's that dark. I ended up in a psychiatric ward for a lot of reasons, and one of the reasons was that I was incredibly uncomfortable being on this planet. I was incredibly uncomfortable in my human experience. And so once I started working with shamans, it didn't necessarily get easier. I really had to, even though I was healing and learning and growing, I still had to recommit to being in human form. And I had to do it for years. And I remember one day, one morning, maybe it was night, I don't know, but I was lying in bed and I remember thinking, oh, I'm glad to be here. And I was probably 34 years old or something before that thought actually went through my mind. I mean, it just had been that traumatic to be here. And that was pretty incredible. It was so bizarre that I actually realized I was thinking it. I mean, that's how weird it was for me. So I understand from very personal experience, not wanting to die, not wanting to kill myself, but also not wanting to be on the planet. And I think a lot of you get that. You've had moments of that. And some of you have had more moments than others. So even if you've never had these moments, it's really good to recommit to being in human form. When I've talked in the past about we set these intentions and these manifestations, and then we have to actually let the universe find our mailbox. You know, we have to really be here fully embodied. As we put out these manifestations, the more fully embodied we are, the easier it is to manifest. It's like the universe goes, oh, there you are. There's your mailbox. I can find you. Whereas 20 years ago, completely not in my body, and I'm trying to manifest, I couldn't manifest a thing because I literally wasn't in my body. And it's almost like I couldn't be found. I couldn't ground it. I couldn't embody it. A felt, sense, lived experience of what I wanted to manifest. So I'm going into a lot of different things right now because there's different aspects that were going to resonate for different people. That's the counsel I'm receiving. So tonight I would definitely like to connect with Kuan Yin, bring in your fairies if you want to bring in your fairy medicine to connect in. Star beings, of course, always welcome. For those of you who've never journeyed with me before, hopefully you've watched a session or you've done some of the YouTube videos perhaps, because I'm going to kind of dive in, but any of your guides are welcome. They're always welcome here. Teachers in seen and unseen realms. I want it to be energies that are most resonant and personal for you. And Kuan Yin, for those of you who've never connected with her, I feel this will be really, really sweet. For those of you who have, you get to reconnect with her and deepen that connection, okay? So go ahead and get comfortable. And you can lie down if you don't think you're going to fall asleep. And you can just take some nice breaths into your belly. Just taking a moment to relax, let go of the day, let go of your to-do list. And just take a moment and ask yourself, where am I in my body? And you don't need praise or blame around what the answer is. Just check in, where are you in your body? It's good to be aware. And if you're in a place in your body that feels good, then breathe into that. If you'd like to shift where you are in your body, maybe more into your core, into your heart, then breathe into your belly and just move into that space in your body if you'd like, or you can stay exactly where you are. Invoking the pillars of this temple, Archangels Michael, Ariel, Uriel, Gabriel, Raphael, Sandalphon, Metatron, Zadkiel, Melchizedek, San Germain, San Cipriano. Activating this temple grid space so that we are together in medicine world. And everything in this space must be pure love and pure medicine. Gracias, Pachamama, Mother Earth, Mother Gaia. Thank you to this beautiful earth, this beautiful place we call home. I'm deeply grateful that we have time to visit here for what we call a lifetime. Inviting in our tree tribe and the flowers and herbs, all of our teachers in the seen and unseen realms, inviting in our ancestors, the Apukuna and Nyustakuna mountains and rivers and open spaces, inviting in your guides, guardians, in the seen and unseen realms, inviting in the fairies, asking our beloved Kuan Yin to please join us in this space. So make your way through your portal door into your sacred space. And just take a moment to connect with your personal guides. And inviting in the fairies if you'd like, seeing if there's any new energies that would like to connect with you tonight. And of course, inviting in Kuan Yin, goddess of compassion, mother of all, listening to the cries of her children, humanity. However you see her is perfect. Take a moment to ask Kuan Yin for a gift that will support you on your journey right now, especially to support you in feeling more comfortable in your human form, in your human experience. And before I send you more deeply into your journey with your guides surrounding you, I want you to repeat after me out loud. I state your full name. I, Bloom Florecer Post, call myself to myself. Throughout lifetimes and timelines, throughout dimensions and realms, I receive all of my soul aspects with grace and ease into my heart right now. And at this time, I recommit to being in human form, to walking this human journey, to fully embodying this human experience, while also embodying my perfect, divine, spiritual self. I recommit to my mission. I recommit to my body. I recommit to my heart. I recommit to myself. I choose to be here. I am grateful. So be it, it is so. And just take some nice deep breaths into your belly, allowing that to integrate throughout lifetimes, timelines, dimensions, and realms with grace and ease. Invoking the Minari to support and assist in any activations, programs that need to be deactivated, karmic contracts that are no longer supporting and serving your highest and greatest good, and activating any programs and support that will be for your highest and greatest good at this time. So be it, it is so. And taking that recommitment into your shamanic journey tonight to receive support, healing, grace, and compassion, especially from Kuan Yin.
Corazón,
Dia Corazon. Dia Corazon. Dia Corazon. Healing, healing for your heart. Healing, healing for your heart. Pachamama Kwanyin. Pachamama Kwanyin. Pachamama Kwanyin. Pachamama Kwanyin. Healing grief, Kuan Yin. Healing grief, Kuan Yin. Healing grief, Kuan Yin. Healing grief, Kuan Yin. Sacred remembering. Sacred remembering. Compassion, sacred remembering. I choose, I choose. I choose, I choose. I choose human form. Compassion, Kuan Yin. I recommit. I recommit to being human. Compassion, Kuan Yin. Perfectly divine in human form. Perfectly divine in human form. Archangel is Archangel. Archangel is Kuan Yin. Star being, star being. Star being Kuan Yin. Ascended Masters, Ascended Masters, Kuan Yin. Great teachers, great teachers. Great teachers, Kuan Yin. Self-love, Kuan Yin. Self-love, Kuan Yin. Self-love, Kuan Yin. Self-love, Kuan Yin. Love, 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 love. 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 We are glad you are here. We know you have a mission. We know you are strong. And we are glad you are here. Love, 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 love. Love, love, Kuan Yin. Love, 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 love. Love, love, Kuan Yin. I'll once come, Hariri. Hariri. I'll once come, Hariri. Hariri. Haya was kamari re Hari re 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 Haya was kamari re Hari re 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 Madre madre Take a nice breath into your belly. Wherever you are in your journey, you can take your time to find a place of completion for now. You're always welcome back here and always welcome to connect with Kuan Yin. And as you make your way towards your portal door, I'd like you to surround yourself with your guides and just lovingly place your hands on your belly. And just feel yourself breathe in that sacred space. And just consider the miracle of that. Consider the miracle of what your body is capable of. And as you step back through your portal door, you are, of course, welcome to bring all of your guides with you. You're welcome to bring Kuan Yin with you. And feel them circle up with you right there where you are in your own physical earth home. And once you can feel them there, you can close that portal door behind you and just take another couple nice breaths into your belly with your hands on your belly. Just appreciating these breaths, appreciating these moments of quiet and stillness. And then when you're ready, one nice last deep breath before you open your eyes. And drink some water. Going to sound like a strange segue, but it wouldn't be the first time. One time I was in a gas station bathroom, and me being me, there was a fly in there that was really trying to get out, and there was no window or anything. So when I was getting ready to leave this bathroom, I was on some kind of road trip. The fly was pretty tired. I think it was probably not going to last much longer. And I gathered up the fly in my hands and walked this fly, you know, out the bathroom door through the gas station. Can you make sure everybody's muted, Tracy? And I walked this fly through the gas station like this and went outside and let it go and set it free. What struck me about that, though, is that the fly was really suffering in that bathroom. Well, I perceived that he was suffering because he wasn't going to get any outside again. It was probably not much food. I imagine he was dying. I would perceive that as not something that that fly really wanted. That was my perception. But gosh darn it, if that fly was not just so mad at me and so stressed out, the whole time it was in my hands. And I was thinking, fly, I'm helping you. I'm helping you. I know you feel like you're suffering for just a minute here, which to the fly might have been a lifetime for all I know. For me, it was just walking through the gas station, but I have a different concept of the situation than the fly does. And that fly was not happy at all until I let it go. And suddenly it seemed like the fly was pretty happy. Now I'm projecting, I get that. I totally anthropomorphize that fly. It just reminded me that we do that. You know, we're struggling, we're having a hard time, and we ask for help. We ask for the paradigm to shift, and it starts to happen, and then we freak out. We completely freak out. There's going to often be those moments of uncomfortableness until we get to the setting you free. And paradigm shift is, to my experience, a much bigger version than just walking through a gas station. But maybe for the powers that be, it's that long and they just walked through the cosmic gas station or getting ready to set us free one day, for all I know. You know, but there's this fly buzzing around in here the whole time we're doing the shamanic journey, and it reminded me of that and how my guide said, that's how you act when we pick you up and try to get you to a better space. That's totally how you act, Bloom. You freak out. You ask for our help. We're doing it. You need to just give us a minute and then, oh, look how happy you are now. And it was a funny way to get the lesson, and it really resonated for me. So the fly had, you know, the fly could have just relaxed and see what was going to happen, or it could freak out the whole way. And I can relax and be in those places of shadow where it feels like the cosmic energy is holding me just like this, and it's all dark and I can't see a thing, or I can completely freak out. It's totally up to me how I use my energy. And so I was just thinking about that as we were journeying and connecting with Kuan Yin, because I feel the opportunity for her and your other guides and support in the realm, in the realms, even in this realm, to hold you right now and allow that, you know. And it doesn't mean it's not still going to be hard for a minute, and we can let ourselves be held through that. And that's a big lesson for all of us, you know, just allowing ourselves to be held, even if it's just energetically, even if there's not another human who can hold you right now. Your energies, your support team in the realms can hold you. They have never let me down, even when I was yelling and screaming at them to get me out of this gas station bathroom called life or whatever. They still haven't let me down. So I'm grateful for the compassion of an archetype like Kuan Yin and the archetype of Bodhisattva. I like the story. I like the program that there are enlightened beings that are just totally peaceful that have chosen to come back and help the rest of us. I like that idea. You know, I can't tell you whether or not that's true or not, but I like it. I like the idea. I like feeling that kind of support. And I really appreciate this Divine Mother energy of just total compassion. And that's something I could use right now, and it's something that I feel the world could use right now. And be easy with yourselves. If you absolutely love your body and love your human experience and love being human, revel in that. And if you have moments where you just don't, be easy on yourself, you know, and I get it. And ultimately, I am glad to be here. And ultimately, I'm really glad that all of you are here. And you all and this work, no joke, is what makes it worth it to me in so many ways to stick around and do this. Once I found the shamanic path and this kind of work, then I wanted to stay. I really wanted to stay. And so I'm not being flippant when I say that you all are a part of that, because when we show up and do this, it doesn't matter what kind of day I've had. When we're complete, I feel really good. I feel just reconnected again. And that's, I'm really grateful for that. And I'm really grateful that each of you shows up for that and that you show up for yourself. So thank you all for being here. Thank you, Tracy, for hosting. Thank you, Sandra, for being a backup. And if you want to just unmute everybody, we can say goodbye. I'm really glad you're all here.
Thank you.